Glad you guys are here today. Glad you guys are here online with us as well. Derek, I talked about this a little bit ago, but man, just had a great time for like the ladies of the church. A good chunk of the ladies got together yesterday, and the men took care of the kids. And only one child got hurt, and it was mine. So it's okay, all right? So I'm just kidding. Jax, I love you, man. Just stop getting hurt. All right. Hey, guys, in 1961 in Kansas City, Missouri, God used a man named Joe Krieger and about 16 other people to plant a church and reach that city with the gospel. And from the beginning, Pastor Joe made a commitment to faithfully preach and teach and follow the word of God. I was blessed to grow up in that church and be a part of them, faithfully teaching and living that out. I heard the word of God preached. I heard it taught. It was read and taught in my home as well. And in March of 1988, man, I heard the gospel and I just surrendered my life to Jesus. And I continued to learn and grow by biblical teaching and by being in the word of God. And by God's grace, that church, man, some 58 years later, is still continuing to pursue and live out that commitment to preach and teach and follow the word of God. That church is named Antioch, and that church partnered with us as we planted Authentic Life Church. In fact, they still partner with us today. They just want to be a part of what God is doing here in Tucson. And the pastor there still continues to encourage me and to speak God's truth into my life. Man, if you guys have that in your life, it's good to have encouragers, isn't it? To just speak God's word and God's truth into your life. And when we began here in Tucson, man, we continued that commitment, right? And that prayer to be after the word of God. We said and we've prayed that by the grace of God, we would remain faithful to the word of God. That's our aim, church, to preach and teach God's word and to faithfully live that out together as a church body. And to be honest, that's something that we want for every Bible-believing church, amen, right? That's something that we want for all churches. But throughout Scripture, we see many reminders, encouragement, and warnings to Christians and to churches to stay at it, right? To stay at it, to stay focused, to be faithful to God's word. Why? Because it's easy to lose that focus or to only follow certain parts of God's word or to get distracted. Culture seeps in and starts infiltrating the church. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He says this. He says he's writing this to Timothy, who's pastoring the church of Ephesus. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. He says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, meaning they only want to hear what they want to hear, right? They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire and will turn away their ears from the truth. Church, we're walking verse by verse through 1 Thessalonians. That's what we like to do at Authentic Life, is to walk verse by verse through books of the Bible. We'll do topical series periodically, but we are walking through 1 Thessalonians in a series that we've titled Real. Because as we walk through it, we see God use Paul to write this letter to a church full of real people living real lives in a real city that desperately needed the real gospel, the real word of God. And we know this about this church in Thessalonica, that God was doing big things in their lives, but also in their city. This church was allowing God to use them to reach the people there, and God was creating some real transformation in that city. And as we walk through this for the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at how this church was started, right? And then Paul highlights their individual lives and how they were real and authentic and pursuing Christ and growing. He highlights how they were impacting the city and making a real difference, the church was. And last week, we looked at Paul's example of what it looks like to be a Christ-like and authentic godly leader and person of influence. Today, we pick up where we left off last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. Go ahead and turn there. If you need a Bible, we've got that table back there for you. Those Bibles are for you. That's why we got them. So if you need a Bible, grab one and keep that. That's our gift to you. But go ahead and turn there with me, and we're going to see Paul point out the importance of God's word. The importance of God's word. Paul is going to point out and remind this church that it was the true word of God that he brought to them and that they received. It was the true word of God that impacted their life. It's the true word of God that helped them grow as Christians. And so join me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. And we're going to see some truths about God's word, about the Bible, how it impacted their lives, and how it will impact ours. If you're able, church, would you stand to honor God and his word? If you're at home, stand with us. Stand with us and read this together. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, here's what God's word says. Paul writes, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hand of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They're not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sin, but the wrath has come upon them to the utmost." Let's pray, church. Father, as we open your word today, as we hear the preaching, God, we pray, Lord, that my words do nothing but glorify you, and God, that you do a work in all of our lives as we hear and listen today. God, we pray, Lord, that we would have humble hearts, that we would have ears ready to listen and hearts submissive, ready to change to be more like you. And God, as we talk about the word of God today, we thank you for the awesome, powerful, inerrant word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Hopefully you guys have someone in your life who is an encourager, right? Someone that God has placed in your life that encourages you, especially to follow the Lord. Someone who sees God at work in your life, right? And encourages you to continue to follow the Lord. I don't know about you, but I mean, can you guys just affirm that with me? Encouragers are life-changing, right? They're just someone that comes at the right time to give you that lift that you need. And Paul is doing that for the church here in Thessalonica. He's writing to these Christians, and he's encouraging them. As a leader, he has a responsibility to teach them and to hold them accountable and help them grow and walk with the Lord. But he encourages them throughout this whole book. You know why? Because he's excited to see that God is at work in their life. He's excited to see them walk faithfully with the Lord and share Jesus with others. And here in chapter 2, he's excited to see them in the Word of God, right? He's excited to see them grow and be faithful to the Word of God, and he's encouraging them to continue that. Look what he says in verse 13. He says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Paul had seen these Christians, right? He had seen some other churches veer off. We see that today, don't we, church? Man, by the grace of God, man, we want to remain faithful to what God has called us to do. But there are churches, it's not new today, right? It's been happening for years that churches, man, they start off the way God wants them, and then they veer off and they stop applying God's word to their life. But Paul is excited because he's seeing this church in Thessalonica, and he's saying to them, there is evidence in you that God's word is at work in you. Church, I don't know about you, but I want that to be said of my life, that there is evidence that God's word is being lived out in my life. For us, when you guys hold up the Bible, we've got the Old Testament, we've got the New Testament, we got maps, we got concordances, we got all sorts of cool stuff in the Word of God, right? Old Testament, New Testament, we got the complete thing. But for them, it wasn't quite that easy. A lot of them didn't know how to read. A lot of them didn't have access to the scrolls or to the Old Testament or to the teachings of Jesus. But that's why it's important that it was taught, right? And it was taught faithfully. But they did have the word of God. They had the word of the gospel. And he says in verse 13 that the word of God is what we brought to you. The word of the gospel is what we brought to you. Guys, this was a city that desperately needed Jesus. Right, people were seeking a better life. In Thessalonica, they were seeking change. And God sent Paul and his team to bring the word of God to them. Here's the reality. God knew they didn't need the things they were searching for. Right? They didn't need more of what Thessalonica offered them. They didn't need more of what the world was offering them. They needed the truth of God's word. That's what they needed. What is the word of God? We're talking about that. So let's talk a little bit about what is the word of God. Listen to this passage found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All scripture," amen? "All scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable. It's good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for for every good work. Here's what I love about this. When it says that all Scripture is inspired by God, here's what that phrase means. In the Greek, it literally means that all Scripture is God-breathed. When the Bible says that it is inspired, it is translated to speak God's breath. Here's what that means for you and me. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. Amen? When Scripture speaks, God speaks. And we're to use His Word. We're to read and listen and use it for teaching and correction and training so that we can learn about who God is and learn the life that God calls us to live. Sometimes people will say, well, the Word of God, man, that's just outdated. That was for that time. That was for that century. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, but both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Church, the Word is alive, right? It's alive. It is effective. It speaks into our life. And it is just as much alive and true today as it always has been. Here's what we know about God's Word. Because it's from God, because it's God-breathed, we can trust every part of it. Psalms 19:7 says this, the instruction or the law of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Church, sometimes when we open up the Bible, we can be tempted to skip over passages, right? Because some of them are hard. Some of them are counterculture. Some of them make us feel, you know, like are you with me, church? Sometimes just easy to skip over passages. By the way, that's one reason why we preach the way that we do, because when we walk through a book of the Bible, we address every single issue, don't we? We cover all of it. But sometimes we're tempted to skip passages or trust some of God's Word, but not others, right? We see that a lot in our culture. No, we can trust this, but we're not going to trust this. But God is telling us the true Word of God is the complete Word of God. And we need to be very clear, because there's some teaching that are prevalent in our culture, in our city. We are not to add to Scripture, and we're not to take away from it. Amen? Are you with me, church? Man, it is alive, it is effective, it is perfect, and it stands forever. It's permanent. Listen to Isaiah 40, verse 8. It says this, the grass withers and the flowers fade. Things come and go, don't they? But the Word of our God stands forever. It's a good reminder, many things in this world change or fade, come and go. Isn't it kind of weird that in our culture, truth kind of seems to change? That's kind of weird, isn't it? 1 + 1 is always 2, amen, right? But man, it just seems like truth changes. Political correctness, agendas, opinions, thoughts, there is always this constant change and things coming and going. But the Bible that you hold in your hands, it remains true through it all. It never stops being true. It never stops being God's Word, no matter what culture or what political correctness says. And that is what Paul brought to them. That's our aim, to preach and to teach here at Authentic Life Church the Word of God. When it comes to preaching, I like what John MacArthur says about preaching the Word. He says this, the preacher is not a chef, he's a waiter. Right? The preacher's not a chef, he's a waiter. God doesn't want you to make the meal. He just wants you to deliver it to the table without messing it up. My job is not to like create some truth, it's to take what God has already said and deliver it the way he intended to deliver it. Right? He just wants us to deliver his Word in proper context. And Paul, nor any other preacher, should bring their own opinion or word. Right? It is God's Word that we bring, and we just proclaim it and teach it. And he says in verse 13 that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God. We're going to get into the back of your notes. On the back of your bulletin, you have notes on the back of there. And here's your first one. It says that they received it and accepted it. That's our first truth today. When it comes to the true Word of God, God wants you to receive it and accept the Word of God. To receive it means this. It means to welcome it. The Greek word for receive means to welcome or to join oneself to it, right? Which means this, it's not rejected, but welcomed and put into action. And so as we read the Word of God and we hear it taught, we ask God to help us hear it and welcome it into our lives and to receive it as true. And then to accept it, it means that we take a hold of it and we endure in it. And this word, to accept, it was often used in their culture when it came to relationships to help them understand it. Number one, it meant that you were accepting a guest into your home, right? Someone knocks on your door, rings the doorbell, you let them in, amen, right? You let them in, hopefully. Someone came to my door the other day and I said, are you a criminal? They said, nope. I said, come on in. You just got to do that these days. Anybody ever have like grandparents or anything where they just left their doors unlocked all the time? Goodness, man, my grandparents did that until just a few years ago, until their neighbor that was ill and had dementia just ended up sleeping on their couch a few times, you know? But I mean, it's just crazy like how culture has changed. But that's what it means to accept, is you welcome them into your home. Here's a better application for us. It means that you're accepting a person into your life to be part of your family. Think about adopting them. We've adopted. And so when you adopt a child into your home, man, they become fully mine, right? They become part of my life. So Paul is saying that they welcomed God's word into their life. They received it. They believed it. And they made it part of their life. It became part of who they were. You know what that means? The next thing on your notes is this. They lived it out. Church, what we read in God's word, we're to apply it to our lives and live it out. When it comes to God's word, we read it. We know it's powerful. We know it's alive. We know it's effective. Knowing that it's God's true word, we receive it so that we can live it out. Church, sometimes we read the Bible only for information but not transformation. Sometimes we only read the Bible for information and not growth and not to be more like Jesus. But here's what Paul's saying. Guys, you received it, not just for head knowledge, but you trusted it, you accepted it, you lived it out. James 1:22 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Here's the reality. You guys can sit in 40,000 sermons. You guys can open up the Bible, but if you don't receive it and accept it, you can't live it out. Are you with me, church? Man, we've got to receive it and accept it to live it out. When we truly open up his words, guys, let's put our walls down. Amen? Let's put our walls down and truly let God's word speak to us. Trust it and accept it. And that will cause you to grow and to change and become more like Christ. In this Bible that we have, we learn who God is, right? We learn who we are, and we learn of his love for us. We also see God's heart, and we see his care for us. We see his design for all things in life. Church, here's the reality. If we're not in the word of God, we don't know what's wrong. Are you with me? If we have someone preach and teach that's something that's not in God's word, how are we supposed to know that? We see God's heart. We see his design for life. We see his design for marriage. We see his design for gender. We see his design for everything, church. And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying, man, there's a lot of truth out there that constantly changes, but the word of God never changes. Right? And so if we're facing things in our culture where truths are changing, we go to the word of God for the truth. Are you with me, guys, or am I just talking to myself here? Are we good? All right. Man, we were to hear the word of God, and we see his design, we see his creation, we see that he's in control and sovereign. We hear the words of Jesus. We see the light that we're supposed to imitate. We learn, right, who we become when we surrender to Jesus. We learn that when we give our life to Jesus and when we're saved, we become adopted into the family of God and that we're sealed into the day of redemption. Are you with me, church? Man, we learn these things. We learn that when we deserve nothing, God loved us and gave everything. He gave Jesus to live the perfect life, to suffer and die in our place and rise again. You don't learn that outside of here, church. You don't learn it outside of the Bible. We learn that we can be forgiven. We learn that when we're saved, we become his. We learn that he's Lord. We see how we should live our life. We learn it all right here in God's word. And Paul comes to them in this worldly city that has got a lot of truths, right? For those that are listening and not seeing, I put air quotes up, right? That's the cool thing to do. Man, they're hearing a lot of false teaching and truth, but God sends Paul to bring the true word of God. And he's basically saying, I know you're searching, I know you're seeking, I know you want change, I know you want truth, I know you want a better life. Here it is. Church, we got to be really careful sometimes, because as Christians, God's going to put people in our life where they come to us and they need to be encouraged, they need the truth, and sometimes we just say, hey, live your best life now. Right? Are you with me, church? Man, we don't open up the word of God and share what the word of God says. They received it. They accepted it. They trusted it. And they trusted in God and his word, and they lived it out. What does that look like in your life? When you hear that Jesus loves you and that he came and died because you're a sinner and you were separated from him and you were going to hell, what do you do when you read that in the Bible? Right? Do you just stop and get discouraged and set it aside and say, well, I don't want that? Well, you forget that Jesus died for your sins and he rose again and he says, come and follow me. Turn your life to me. Surrender to me. Make me Lord of your life. Have you received the truth of God's word, the gospel? Do you know Jesus? If the answer is yes today, if not, man, you need to trust in Jesus today. If the answer is yes, you know Christ. There's been a time in your life where you've called on him and you believed in him. Well, the question now is, are you still receiving and accepting the word and living it out? I received a prayer request today from a friend of mine that's a missionary in a country where they're going through a very important election. One election, one person will lead them towards a direction where this will become illegal. This will become illegal. We have, I'll just be honest, we got Bibles sitting on all sorts of shelves. In our house, are we reading them? Are we applying them to our lives? Are we living it out? Or do we just say, man, I got 14 Bibles and 13 translations? That doesn't make sense, but you get what I'm saying? Like, I've got it on my phone. I got the app. I got K-Love on the back of my car, right? I got a shirt that says Jesus Follower. Are we in the Word of God being changed by it? Paul says in verse 13, that the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. How do you know if the Word of God is effective and if you're receiving it and accepting it? Is it changing you? If it's not, then you're not receiving it and accepting it. Does that make sense, church? Right? MacArthur says that the work of God's Word, listen to all this. This is the power of God's Word. Are you ready? It saves, it teaches, it trains, it guides, it counsels, it revives, it restores, it warns, it nourishes, it sanctifies, it enriches, it protects, it strengthens, it makes you wise and gives you joy. That's what's in the Word of God, and things fall out of it, right? When we receive and accept God's Word, these are just some of the things that God uses his Word to do in our lives. Let's let God's Word be at work in you. Then he says in verse 14, for you, brethren, he's talking to the church, you became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. Paul had already pointed out in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he said, hey, I see it in you, you're imitators of the Lord and you're imitators of us, right? They're following Jesus, they're following godly example, and now he points out that they're imitating other churches and other Christians. And that leads to truth number two for us. First, receive and accept God's word to live it out. Second is this, be transformed by the word. Be transformed. These Christians, they were allowing God's word to be alive and active in their life. They were believing it. They were trusting it. They were applying it to their lives even when it was difficult. They were living it out in their church. I'm going to tell you, church, there's a whole lot of things that we read in God's word that might not be accepted by our culture today, but it's not my responsibility to make y'all happy. My job is to preach the word of God. It's your guys' job not to pursue what the world says will make you happy. It's to see what brings us joy. Are you with me, guys? All right. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir today, but man, I'm just a little worked up. Where are we at? Be transformed. I haven't said that in a bit. All right. I've been good. Be transformed by the word. They were imitating the Lord. They were imitating others and learning how to follow the Bible. They were learning how to apply it to their life. They were learning examples from other godly people. God puts people in our life, church. Amen? He puts people in our life. And part of that reason that we have the church family, the local church, is that so that we can be together and help one another live out God's word. It is. Another reason we're to be together is to be dedicated to God's word together, to grow in it together, to help one another apply it. And really, we have a responsibility to be accountable to one another to the word of God. We don't like that today. Hey, it's America, man. Are you with me, church? Man, that's we're to be accountable. And here's another reminder. And for those that are online and here, we cannot truly live out the life of a Christian, of an authentic Jesus follower, apart from the local church. You can't. If you're not a part of a local church, man, be a part of one. That's God's design. It is not God's design to not be a part of the local church, right? And we see that here, that this church, these Christians, they're hearing God's word. They're learning from others. And as a church, they are applying it and living it out together. And so a subpoint for this of under being transformed is this, is to grow. Man, we're being transformed by the word of God. Part of that is growing. They were growing. They were learning and applying it. And church, I think sometimes we just need to hear this, because sometimes we get saved and we remain babies, right? We do. But listen to what 1 Peter 2:2 says. It says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. God's desire for us is for all to be saved. The Bible tells us that. The desire for God and the Savior is for all to be saved, but not to stay the same. It is to mature in our walk with Christ. Man, newborn babies don't stay newborn babies, do they? Man, they grow how? By mama's milk, right? They grow. They long for that milk. We're to long for the Word of God. We're to be in it and be filled by it. Why? So that we can grow in our walk with Jesus and grow to be more like Him until we are with Him. And guess what? It's a lifelong process, right? It's a continual process of growth. But here's the truth. You cannot grow as a Christian. You cannot grow to be who God wants you to be if you're not in the Word of God. You can't. You cannot learn and grow and apply it if you're not in the Word. You just can't. So we receive and accept God's Word, right? We live it out. We're transformed by it. We grow. And the other part of transformation is this. We remain faithful to God and His Word. To have a transformed life is to have a faithful life. Church, I'm going to hit some things home here. Are you ready? All right. We're going to read this together, and we're just going to really nail out some things that are important for us to hear today. In verse 14, Paul points this out in the Thessalonian church. Look, read this with me. We're going to read the rest of the text. For you, brethren, when he's talking about brethren, he's talking about the church family. For you, brethren, you became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same suffering at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. He's talking about the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They're not pleasing to God, but they're hostile to all men. They're hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. This church was living in a city that desperately needed Jesus. These Christians were in the middle of this city. They had given their life to Christ. They were saved. These Christians were facing severe persecution and opposition. They were living among people that worshiped idols, that worshiped Caesar, that rejected Jesus. It made it hard for them to share the gospel and to share the truth of God's word, right? But Paul says, you all have endured through that. You have stood firm through it all. You have remained faithful, even with persecution, the rejection, the opposition. You remain faithful to God and His word. Church, we need to have a moment of honesty. We don't face right now what they're facing. But the reality is that could come sooner than we think. It's already counterculture for us to live according to this. And if you don't believe that, you're not paying attention. It is counterculture to live according to the Word of God. But we're not facing what they're facing. And I'm telling you what, if they can remain faithful, we can remain faithful. Amen? They continued to follow Jesus. They continued to be in His Word. They continued to share it with those around them. They were faithful. They knew standing firm in the Word of God was worth it. They knew to expect the opposition. Paul would have taught them Jesus' teaching. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15, because sometimes we're like, this is America. We shouldn't be persecuted. Listen to what Jesus says. In verse 18, He says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you live like them, if you were part of the, right, the world would love you as its own. However, because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I speak to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus says, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Here's the reality. When we follow Jesus, when we're devoted to Him, when we are faithful to His word, you will face opposition. You will. The devil does not want us to remain faithful to Jesus. The devil does not want us to point people to Jesus. The devil does not want us living out God's word. The devil definitely doesn't want us sharing the gospel with other people. But we learn from the word that we can stand firm, that we can remain faithful. And we've got the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us that empowers us to remain faithful. And in God's word, we learn of his love for us, that Jesus has for us. And by the way, when we think about what we've endured as Christians, just compare it to what Christ endured for you. And our response to him, because we love him, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because we love him, we follow and obey his word. Church, at Authentic Life, by the grace of God, we are committed to preach and teach the word of God here. We're committed to living that out. That is our goal. That is our aim, to know Jesus, to grow in our walk with him and to live that out. That's the life of an authentic Christ follower, right? We want to be a Christ follower that loves and follows and obeys him. People that make up, we're the whole body, right? We're the body, but there's individual members. Individual members, you got to come to God's word, right? We've got to be in God's word with an attitude and a posture of humility and submissiveness. Like, my wife's a teacher. She's going to have fun with that one. I don't even know where I'm at. That's twice today. Y'all are messing me up. Amen. Church, sometimes we come to God's word and we want to say, well, this is my view, this is my thought. How can I make God's word line up with that? But when we come to God's word, we're to set us aside and set our opinions aside and just have that heart of humility and say, God, you're bigger than me. You're smarter than me. You're God. I'm not. You're Lord. Let me listen. Let me have humility and give me a heart of submission. Help me follow what your word says. And when we do, the Lord will use the Bible, his word, to be at work in your life. Before we close today, I want to highlight one more thing. When Paul addresses this letter, he addresses it to the church in Thessalonica. By the way, there's a commitment to this church in Thessalonica because they needed each other. Sometimes in America, we don't feel like we need each other, do we? And so we're just kind of passive with how we do church. But he writes this letter to the church. The church is ekklesia. That's the Greek word for church, which means called out ones. So he's talking to the people called out by God, the people that God has brought together and saved to be his local body. He's writing this to a group of believers that are devoted to being together as the local church. And then in chapter 2, he again addresses them as the collective group, as a body. And then here in verse 14, he writes, for you, brethren, right? He's talking to the church family. He's talking to the family of God that's there in Thessalonica, the local body of Christ that was brought together to be unified, to be devoted to prayer, to fellowship, and to serving and to be devoted to God's word. Here's why this is important. We say this all the time that we're better together. Amen? Here's the reality. We need each other. To authentically follow Christ, to grow, to apply and live out his word to our lives, we need each other. Our walk with Christ is personal, but it is just as much corporate as it is personal. Right? We need each other. Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider one another, right here, right? We're one another, in order to provoke love and good works. Verse 25, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the ways that we are letting the culture influence us is not being in the Word of God so that we know we need to be together. Amen? Are you with me? So we have a responsibility to read and study and grow in the Word of God together. That's his design. The Bible uses the word provoke. You know what that means? It means to help along. It even means to push. You know, get going. To do love and good works, to be more like Christ. And we're not to neglect the gathering together. But we gather together, we do life together, we meet outside of here together, we've got life groups, right? Whatever way we can, we need to live this out to encourage one another to walk with Jesus and grow in his word until he comes again. As we get into a time of closing and just response time, when it comes to God's word and our walk with him, and to be able to have real growth, we've got to do that together. Guys, I just want you guys to have some time with the Lord. So if you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes. My first question to you is this. Have you responded to the gospel? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know you can't earn heaven? Do you understand that there's no scale in heaven when outweighing your good and bad? You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. What you find is Jesus says that you will be saved if you believe in Jesus, right? And confess Jesus as Lord. Have you responded to the gospel, the good news of Jesus, where Jesus says, turn from the world, turn from your sins, and turn to me? If you're online today and you say, you know what, I've not. I need to know more about Jesus and what it means to be saved and to follow Christ. In the comment section, just write Jesus. I'll contact you today. Or you can fill out that connection card or email me. Church, if you're in here today, if you've not responded to the gospel by surrendering to Jesus, today's the day. And I want to embarrass anybody, but if you're in here today and you said, I do not know Jesus, I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I do not know where I would spend eternity. The Bible makes it really clear. The Bible makes it really clear to us that we just need to trust in Jesus and believe in the gospel and make him Lord of our life, to turn to him and ask him to save us. If that's you today, you just slip your hand up and say, today's the day I would love to know more about Jesus or give my life to Jesus. Today's the day I would love to enter into the family of God. I won't embarrass you. Just lift your hand up and look me in my eye. Maybe you're here today and you said, you know what, I've given my life to Christ. I am a Christian. But I need to grow in how I'm spending time in the Word of God. I need to spend more time in the Word to receive it and accept it so that it can change me. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up? Just keep your eyes closed. Just slip your hand up and say, man, I want to be committed to growing in God's Word. If that's you today, slip your hand up. I mean, if you need help with that, if you need help in growing in God's Word, let us know. We can help you with that. Let God speak to you as I pray. Father, we just love you. And God, we are grateful for the Word of God. We're grateful that we have this love letter from you, where you tell us that even when we deserve nothing, even while we were still sinning against you, Christ died for us. We learn of your love, and we learn how to follow you and to be with you. God, we pray, Lord, today that we would be motivated by you, convicted by the Holy Spirit, to be in the Word of God.